Welcome to the first edition of the Bird's Eye View podcast, the newest edition of the Inquirer's comprehensive Eagles coverage. I'm Zach Berman, one of the two Eagles beat writers, and you'll hear from my partner on the beat, Jeff McClain, later in the show. We have the newspaper stories and analysis in the Inquirer. We have the Bird's Eye View blog on Inquirer.com and Philly.com. We have online videos. You see Jeff and I on television. You hear us on the radio. But a podcast is a form we haven't explored, and it's a form we think can be used to get our news, insight, and analysis to you. So we'll do this each week, and I promise we'll get better each week. I'll talk to McClain on here. I'll have audio from Eagles players on here. I'll try to line up guests from around the league. And of course, if you have any recommendations, I want to hear about it from you. You can email me at zberman@phillynews.com and on Twitter at zberm. That's Z-B-E-R-M. So let's get to it. We'll look at headlines each week. Three headlines to explore this week as the Eagles prepare to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The first is the quarterback situation. This is what everyone's talking about. Mike Vick is injured right now, has a pulled left hamstring. As source told the Inquirer, he's unlikely to play on Sunday, which means Nick Foles will get his first start of the season, the seventh start of his career. Jeff will touch on this topic. You'll hear some audio from the players as well. DeSean Jackson versus Darrelle Revis, that's another headline. I'll have some insight on this afterwards. DeSean Jackson is the Eagles' top receiver. Darrelle Revis, the highest paid cornerback in the NFL, a valuable player for the Buccaneers. That's going to be a key matchup on Sunday. The opportunity to even the record, that's another big storyline here. The Eagles, of course, they're 2-3. They beat the New York Giants last week. If they win, they move to 3-3. And it sets up a very intriguing final 10 games of the season. So we will look at that as well. This is all part of the first Bird's Eye View podcast. We'll do this each week. As I said, we'll get better each week. But without further ado, let's get into this week's edition. Here's Jeff McClain with the latest on the Eagles. Joining us now, as he will every week, is fellow Inquirer beat writer Jeff McClain. And we're starting this Bird's Eye View podcast trying to reach Eagles fans through this form. So Jeff will be with us each week. And Jeff, just to begin with, can you kind of recap what's been going on with the quarterback situation? You've been on the bottom of this story throughout the week, frankly.
Yeah, well, it seems like, Michael Vick won't be playing on Sunday. At least that's what one NFL source has told me. The hamstring strain is enough to keep him out for Sunday, possibly longer, which means that Nick Foles obviously will get his first NFL start since last December in his rookie season. Now, Michael Vick was practicing today, Tuesday, and, there's a little bit of surprise considering the fact that Chip Kelly said on Monday that he wouldn't. Now, Vick didn't really do much. He said after practice that he did individual drills, didn't do anything with the team, and didn't want to really push it. And he kind of even said the same thing in terms of the game, that he doesn't want to do something that risks further injury or tears the hamstring, and then you have a serious problem. Then you're looking at 1, 2, maybe even the entire season if he has a major injury. So I think Mike pretty much tipped his hat or did himself in terms of what the Eagles are going to do. And if you've spoken to some of the coaches, you get the impression that Nick's going to be the guy. He's already taken all the reps, or at least most of the first-team reps on Tuesday. It'll probably be the same on Wednesday, I imagine. And they'll kind of go from there in terms of the game plan for the Buccaneers.
Now, the interesting thing is the state of the quarterback situation going forward. And you have a unique perspective on this because you covered the transition, if you'll call it that, from Kevin Cobb to Michael Vick. Which also happened based on an injury that wasn't supposed to be long term, but then we saw a quarterback change long term. How do you think this can shake out and will shake out with the Foles-Vick dynamic?
Yeah, I mean it's there's some differences certainly, Zach. I mean you had in the Kevin Cobb situation, there wasn't really a competition. I mean Cobb was given the job once they traded Don McNabb in April, and he was deemed the heir apparent, and everything was kind of centered around Kevin through the spring and then into the summer through training camp and towards the beginning of the season. without really much conversation about Michael Vick possibly being the starter. Now, he played pretty well during training camp. Not that great in the preseason games, but I don't think many people would have sensed that he would have been the guy to take over, at least as quickly as he did. It was only, you know, the first game. He came in and played very well, subbing in from Kevin after he suffered a concussion against the Packers, and then he did well the second game, and then after that, Andy had decided to make the move. Now, fast-forwarding to our situation now, you know, it's a little similar in the fact that Nick came in for Michael and did very well. In fact, he guided them to victory, unlike Vic did in 2010. They lost that game to the Packers. And, you have certainly a different dynamic in terms of the coaches. Chip Kelly has said that Mike's still his starter, which Andy Reid did as well. But he did admit that there's something that Nick can do if he's going to be in there for, let's say, this next game or possibly two games or three games. That could be enough to get him the starting job. And whereas Andy, I think, was very adamant about there not being that possibility. And you know, he didn't leave himself much leeway, whereas Chip has. And it'll be interesting to see if that certainly happens. I mean, I can't rule it out, Zach, but that's possible.
Now, the one thing Chip was ambiguous about, and it actually was your question, when Chip left that door open and you followed up with what type of performance would it take for Nick to win the job, and Chip didn't really go there. Chip just said it'll be a good situation if Nick plays well. From your perspective, what would it take? I mean, what would Nick need to do to really make Chip think here?
Yeah, I mean, he joked right to your question, Zach, about that, you know, get to complete 100 passes, throw for 27 touchdowns. But, you know, I think he'd have to play very well. But I think the key in Chip's answer, and I think in him possibly, in Nick possibly supplanting Mike, is how the offense runs and how, you know, if they start winning games. I mean, that's number one, right? If they're not winning any games, I just don't see them making the switch. But if they continue to win games and the offense is humming, then there might not be a reason to go back to Michael. Now, Michael, he's played okay. He's played good overall the entire season, if you include those first two games against Washington and San Diego when he was above average. But in his last three games, he hasn't been that great. And the offense, especially the vertical game, has not been there. He's completed, I think, only 46% of his passes. That's not good. Now, he does bring that dynamic on the ground, and that's certainly something that has to be considered. And especially in terms of LeSean McCoy and the way it opens up the run game for him. But I think what's going to ultimately decide whether Nick remains the guy or if he takes over for Michael is number one, wins, and number two, if the offense is performing at its maximum. And that also includes in the red zone, another major problem for this team over the last 3 weeks. So that's going to be, those are going to be the deciding factors, in my opinion, in the way that Nick can kind of get this job from Michael. But it's going to take a lot. I really do think it's going to take a lot for him to you know, get that job over Michael.
Well, this audition, if you'll call it that, is against a fairly good defense. I mean, Tampa Bay, for all the issues they've had on the offensive side, particularly at quarterback, they have a skilled secondary. They have good linebackers. What do you see in this Eagles matchup between the Eagles and the Bucs?
Well, Zach, I was kind of looking at the, I'm not really entirely sure about this, but I was looking at the snap counts of the Buccaneers on defense, and they have five defensive backs that basically play starters amount of snaps. So that tells me that they play their nickel even when a team, you know, shows run or heads up there with two tight ends. And I think that's just going to play into the Eagles' offense. You may see them for the first time this season do more 12 personnel than they have 11 personnel. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen, but if I was Chip Kelly, I would say, well, you know, this is an opportunity for me to use my tight end and to get mismatches against their secondary. Or, you know, or not only that, but to open up the run game. If you got two tight ends there and they only got five defensive backs, you can run at them, right? With an extra blocker, pretty much, or a defensive back. So that, to me, tells me that the Eagles may have an advantage there if they're reliant on their nickel defense all the time. But that's a big they may do that because that's the strength of their defense. They do have some very good defensive backs. Darrelle Revis, of course, is still one of the best cornerbacks in the league. Deshaun Goldson, he's a big hitter at the safety position. Mark Barron, I think he struggled a little bit now here by the third season.
Yep.
And they have a rookie, is it Jonathan Banks at the other cornerback spot?
Second-round pick.
So, what's that?
Second-round pick, Jonathan Banks, yep.
Yeah, so, but, you know, that's still the strength of the team, and that may be why they go with five defensive backs majority of time. And then they also have some big guys up front. I mean, Jarrell McCoy is one of the better defensive tackles in the NFC, if you ask me.
So then let's look at this big picture, because after that Denver game, the Eagles fall to 1-3. Their defense struggling to stop anybody. And the saving grace in that was the next two games were against winless opponents. So they beat the Giants. If the Eagles go down to Tampa Bay and win their second in a row, all of a sudden they're 3-3. Does this change the way you view the season long term?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't think many people think they'll go down there and lose. I think most people think they're going to win this game. So I still feel like it wouldn't change it drastically. I had them win in 6 games this year, 6-10. If they go 3-3, that means they have to go 3-7 from here on out.
Yep.
To go 6-10, and that's probably not the reality, or at least that's not likely with this offense and with the schedule that they're playing. There's some really weak teams on that card. So, yeah, I think it would have to change it a little bit. I mean, I still think that 9 wins is not out of the realm of possibilities because how weak the NFC East is and because they are still playing a last-place schedule in terms of how they finished last season. So I would think that it would help them in terms of projecting what they're going to do this season. They still have the Cowboys the following week. That's going to be a tough game for them to win. And then the Giants, while they are 0-5 and they look terrible, it's really tough to beat a Giants team twice in the same year.
Well, that's the story here with Eagles beat writer Jeff McClain. And I'll make this pub for Jeff in that you can check out Eagles Insights, which is Jeff's new Friday column. It's a notebook. Can you kind of explain what that is and what your coverage is on Bird's Eye View throughout the week?
Yeah, well, you know, the Friday notes column, we're trying to, Zach frees me up and allows me to do this, is trying to just kind of get inside the locker room and inside the Eagles and get some of those stories that aren't being told daily, some of the smaller things that are happening in terms of the players, in terms of scheme, in terms of personalities, that you may not get elsewhere. So that's what we try to do on our Friday notes column. And then we're just trying to open up our blog, where I do some alternative ways of telling stories about the game. And in that, we've started to analyze the All-22 game tape and some of the trends that are happening on the team, some of the big plays that have happened in the games, and some of the players and what they're doing in terms of each game, and try and highlight those parts of the game and analyze them with the visuals. And I think that's something that other guys have done around the league, and certainly in coverage of the Eagles. And I think that's something that more and more readers are really interested in following and reading about.
And so there it is. You can find Jeff on Bird's Eye View in the Inquirer, and also on this Bird's Eye View podcast each week. So Jeff, we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks, Zach.
Thank you. That's the update from McClain. We'll speak to him each week. The Vic watch will continue this week. Michael Vick, of course, practiced as we discussed, but he did not participate in team drills. Don't expect him to play, but personally, I think he'll keep the starting quarterback job. The offense simply is more dynamic when he's in the game. Then again, Mike's a 33-year-old on a 1-year contract, and this is a team trying to build for the long term. If Nick Foles looks capable, Kelly might need to see what he has in Foles. Remember, we're not talking about a 4-0 Michael Vick. He's not undefeated this season. He was 1-3 in those first 3 games. Then again, we're also not talking about a number one pick in the draft in Nick Foles. He was a third-round pick who was 1-5 as a starter as a rookie, had more turnovers than touchdowns, and could not beat Vic out for the job during the summer. So although Foles has potential and he has certain tools the team can build around, they are not convinced that he's the quarterback of the future. You can make an argument that they need to see that over the next 11 games. You can also make the argument that he had his chance, he didn't prove it, and the Eagles simply need to play the best player. And so far, Michael Vick has proven that he's a better fit, at least for this offense, than Nick Foles. The sample size, of course, is the preseason training camp and those early games that Michael Vick had when he looked so dynamic in the system. Either way, it will be intriguing to watch. Nick Foles took the podium at the NovaCare Complex on Tuesday. It's actually a lectern, I should say, to answer questions from the reporters. Here's the audio, and just a warning, the audio quality of the press conference is a bit rough at this point. In future podcasts, the recording will improve, but for now, here's Nick Foles.
Nick, how does it feel being back?
One player Nick Foles will have to count on is DeSean Jackson, the Eagles' top receiver. Jackson leads the Eagles this season with 28 catches for 525 yards. He's been an outstanding fit in Chip Kelly's offense, and the loss of Jeremy Maclin in training camp has really increased his role in the team. I've spoken to him quite a bit about this during the past few weeks, the past month, and he understands the role he has on this team, how important he is to this offense. But Sunday's game includes a matchup with Darrell Revis, and that's the toughest cornerback Jackson has played yet this season. Jackson's obviously confident. If you watch DeSean for one play, you realize that. It's quite evident. And so he believes no one can cover him. Darrell Revis, of course, got that nickname Revis Island for a reason. He is one of the NFL's top shutdown cornerbacks, if not the top shutdown cornerback. So this is a one-on-one matchup that's so intriguing, not just because it's Jackson versus Revis, but also with the quarterback situation with the Eagles. Foles doesn't throw the deep ball the way Vic does, and that's obviously such a big connection in the offense, Vic to DeSean. If you have that Foles component in there, It's different. Nick is confident in how he throws the deep ball. He said there's never been a problem. So I want to watch that. I also want to see the different ways the Eagles use Deshaun. They'll put him in the slot. They'll put him in motion. They'll try to find different ways to free him up. I'm looking forward to seeing how they do it. I personally can't wait to watch this matchup. Jackson can't wait to play it. Here's what Deshaun had to say on Tuesday. So obviously Jackson and Revis is a big area to watch, but I like this matchup all around for the Eagles. I think they match up well against Tampa Bay. Now the Bucs defense is tough. That will not be easy for the Eagles. So you heard Jeff mention it. The secondary is especially strong. Revis obviously is the big name there, but they have players beyond Revis. You look at the defensive front with Gerald McCoy, that's one player there, but they have talent all around the defense. You look at the linebacking core, they're very fast. Lavonte David. So it won't be easy for the Eagles, but to beat the Eagles, you need to be able to score points. And I'm not convinced the Bucs are able to do that even with a spotty Eagles defense. The Bucs are going with rookie quarterback Mike Glennon. It's his second start. He's coming off a bye week, so there's more time to prepare. But again, he needs to be able to put up a lot of yards, a lot of points. And that will be it won't be easy, because one thing to watch is that the Bucs offensive coordinator is Mike Sheridan. He came from the Giants, runs a similar scheme to the one the Eagles saw last week. I think you'll see a similar game plan, which is focusing on limiting the vertical game, not getting beaten over the top, even with the Eagles' sometimes suspect safeties. That does leave them exposed underneath, and the Bucs do have good receivers. But if the Bucs are putting this game on Mike Glennon's arm, I think it will be an advantage for the Eagles. Now, if they get the 3-3 with a win over the Bucs, they return home for a two-game set against the rival Dallas Cowboys, the rival New York Giants. At that point, talk of how the Eagles stack up in the NFC East is definitely legitimate, because of simply how crowded this division is, how wide open it is. And the fact that those two games could really show one way or the other how the Eagles are going this year. There will also be more clarity at that point with the quarterback situation. When and maybe even if Mike Vick returns as a starting quarterback, it will be a big topic to watch. Of course, this is assuming Mike Vick does not play Sunday against the Bucs and Nick Foles gets his seventh career start. We'll have all your coverage for you in the Philadelphia Inquirer and on Bird's Eye View. And each week now, starting with this here on the Bird's Eye View podcast. This was the first edition, and we'll be back next week to review the Bucs game and look ahead to the Cowboys. There will be one each week. I appreciate you listening, and I look forward to continuing to do this. So for the Philadelphia Inquirer here on the Bird's Eye View podcast, I'm Zach Berman. Have a good week.